we are in the middle of a minor crisis in my home. We're having a problem with the washing machine, and it's gotten bad. It's gotten really bad, especially for whatever reason, it seems to only be affecting my wife's clothes, finding little holes. I'm thinking there's something probably stuck in there, but you know, you don't realize how much some of the modern conveniences that we have in life, how we just kind of take them for granted. You don't realize how important they are to you until they stop working. And that could be anything, right? It's like your car. You know, you just get in the car. Yeah, dishwasher. I heard dishwasher. Okay. You know, it's like we have these things that we just kind of, you know, we just come in, turn the lights on. We came in today, right? Someone forgot to turn the heat on. And so it was a little cool in here today. And, you know, we just kind of take these things for granted. And as we've been talking about being the salt of the earth, you know, one of the things I was sharing about last week was how salt is such an important thing. Salt really meant a lot. It was very valuable. And so as Jesus was using the example of how he wanted his followers to be the salt of the earth and be the light of the world, it's important that we give full context to this to understand that Jesus wasn't just requiring his followers to be a nice little piece of seasoning that they put on their food or maintain ourselves in a nice little container on the kitchen table, right? It was something of great value to be salt. Salt had a lot of uses. It had a lot of reasons why it was valuable. And one of the things we're going to look at today is one of the uses that salt had that, frankly, up until the late 19th century, salt, it made a whole lot more sense. Its value and its worth made a whole lot more sense up until the late 19th century when we had what some of us might consider modern refrigeration techniques and some of the modern medicine and science that we use, because salt was actually a very good preservative. In fact, it was the primary preservative that people used up until a couple hundred years ago. And, you know, the people ate meat back then, they ate vegetables, they ate things, and these were perishable. They would rot, they would degrade, they would decay. And so you would use salt as this preservative to keep these things so that they could last longer. And yet, when we think about salt and that usefulness, what we're going to look at today is exactly what salt did. How did salt preserve so many things? How was it so useful in keeping things from rotting and decaying and becoming useless? The title of the sermon today is Wash, Rinse, Repeat, Part 2. And I put Part 2 there because I don't want any of you all telling Ben that I stole the title of one of his sermons from a couple years ago, although I did. But this is part two, right? This is part two. Because, you know, I was talking about the washing machine. One of the things is, you know, salt is useful because in preserving, salt did something very, it does something very important. It essentially keeps what it is placed on, what it is put in. It keeps it clean. It keeps it from becoming dirty, becoming infected. You know, anybody who's ever, fortunately, I've never had to experience this. I've only seen it. Anybody ever seen one of these? You go to the hospital, there was this saline drip, I believe it's called, and you get the salt water, and you think, well, what's in it, right? It's salt. You know, salt and water, and they have a certain concentration of it. And what does it do? It flushes things out. It flushes out a wound or if there's an infection, there's bacteria or something in there. That's what a saline drip does, and so they put you on that to help clear up an infection. When salt is used as a preservative, that's actually what it's doing. It's helping to preserve, so that meat, when you put it in that salt, right? We'll talk about that here in a second. But it's preserving it because it's keeping it from getting bacteria. It's keeping it from getting something that would cause it to rot and decay. I want to start by looking at something because when we think about what it is that's expected of us and being the salt of the earth, Very often it comes down to a decision that we have to make about being the salt. And I want to look at it here, very short couple of verses here. Romans chapter 12. Many of us have read this before. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Here it says, it talks about this renewing of your mind. You think, well, what does this mean here in context? What is it talking about, the renewing of your mind? How do you renew your mind? How do you go about this process? Where does this word that's translated to, in our language, the renewing, what does this renewing mean? Well, it's just like when you get new clothes. I had somebody make a comment about my clothes today. So I think I'm going to stand here behind the podium so that nobody sees my new clothes. I'm not going to say her name, but either way, my clothes, I'm going to eventually have to wash them someday. You know, that's usually what happens, right? You get a stain, you get a, something on them, and you don't just throw the clothes away. They're not disposable. You don't just get rid of them, right? What do? You wash them. And so what do? You renew them. You make them clean again. This is a conscious effort. We go through this all the time. We see this throughout life all the time. What do when you're in your car? You get an oil change, right? Why? Because the oil gets burnt out, so you have to flush it out and put new oil in so that the engine components don't break down. Some of you are looking at me like you've never changed the oil. That's okay. The point is, in life, we have this renewal process that we engage in. It's intentional. It's conscious. Our minds have to be renewed. Otherwise, if we don't renew them, if we don't clean them, if we don't disinfect them, if we don't take the time to flush it out, what does it do? It gets old. It gets dirty. It gets rotted. It loses its usefulness. It loses its ability, in some cases, to be elastic, to be pliable. It loses what its design purpose is. The renewing of your mind. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. It's making this comparison here. To not be like the world. To not conform to their pattern. Well, what is the world's pattern? As opposed to what it's saying here about the renewing of the mind. The world's pattern is, I'm not going to change. There's nothing I need to change. I don't need to be cleaned. I don't need to renew myself. I don't need to challenge myself to be clean, to be strong, to be better. We see here very clearly what we read to this church, and understand the context and how this is written. Prior to this chapter, in this letter that was written to this group of Roman churches, these group of Roman Christians, he's going out and he's laying out all these different ways in which they were engaging in sinful behavior. And it wasn't necessarily that they were intending to go out and be sinful and hurt people and do things that were against God, but this was a part of their culture. This is a part of how they were raised, how they grew up, what everybody in society around them was doing. So when he talks about this renewal and going against the pattern of this world, he's saying you have to go against what everything around you is saying. You have to engage in this renewal. You have to engage in constantly cleaning yourself up. There have been days, not recently, but there have been days when I was a kid, I have not been nearly as conscious of my cleanliness. Those of you all with children know exactly what I'm talking about, because now I'm seeing it. I remember I would think, my mother is really overreacting about this bath thing, right? I mean, I know I just played outside all weekend and rolled in the grass and got dirty, but do I really need to wash my hair? You know, and I look at my children now and I'm thinking, wow, sorry, Mom, because it's important that you stay clean. What happens when you don't clean your body? You get sores. You get diseases. It's dirty. It's not even just a matter of the odor, but it's where the odor is coming from, right? It's how the odor is even starting. And we can, you know, even without smelling it, you can already kind of just in your mind, like, ooh, yeah, that smell is terrible when you get that really bad odor. But that's what happens to us spiritually when we do not engage in constant renewal and cleaning ourselves. Part of that conforming to our surroundings when we just say, you know what, I don't feel like I need to be clean. Because the world doesn't understand the decay, the corruption. They don't understand the filth that sin is. That's why we can't engage in the habits and practices of the world, because the world doesn't take enough baths. The world doesn't consciously make a decision that I'm going to go about this cleaning, this renewal process. It doesn't not only do it for themselves, the individuals, but it doesn't do it for others. Because as the church, that's part of what we have to do for one another. We have to help each other stay clean. You know, this is a bowl of lemons. And I was looking up, as I was researching, all the different ways in which salt was used as a preservative, the way it was used, in what it does, you know, because we had a... I like using bananas for my smoothies, and it doesn't take very long for the bananas to get ripe and start to slowly decay. And then what happens? You get the little fruit flies, little gnats. You know, my wife is going to listen to this recording, and she's going to frown because she's mad. She gets frustrated. She's like, why do you buy so many bananas? You know you can only eat so many of them at a time. And I've gotten better, but clearly not good enough. These things decay. And we know this happens if you don't preserve. She's like, why don't you put it in the refrigerator? Because I don't want my bananas cold. Who puts their bananas in the refrigerator? But the point is, we have to do something. The same thing when it comes to meat, right? Since ancient times, there's different methods. You can either take the salt, crush it up, and actually put it, you know, like sprinkle it, you know, and then store it away. And sometimes it will last up to weeks without having to be refrigerated, and it would still be good. It was still useful because salt would preserve the meat. Another way was called brine, where you would actually put the salt on the water, similar to that saline solution. And so you dip the meat in there, and it soaks it up. It takes it in, and it becomes a preservative. It repels that decay. It repels that bacteria that gets in and eats away and makes it no longer useful. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that as a church? How do we engage in being the salt of the earth in the same way that Jesus was referring to? James chapter 5, give us a little clue here. Starting in verse 13, says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So often we look at this passage and it talks about confession, but it's important that we understand this confession. I'll give you a quick example here. If I don't know, we'll use Tom, right? I'll use Tom as an example. If Tom, maybe I'm a little light on cash, I'm going through some struggles here, and I need some money, so I steal some money from Tom. First of all, Tom's going to be very upset, very disappointed. He just nodded, yes. So I take some money from Tom, and then I start to feel bad. I start to feel guilty, right? And then I go and I decide I'm going to pull Miss Juanita aside here and I'm going to confess my sin and what I did by taking money from Tom to her. That's not helping the situation. That's not what this passage is talking about. The confession needs to be to Tom. I need to make my way to Tom and confess my sin and what I did to him. Why? Because the purpose of the confession is in order to rebuild and repair and to reconcile that relationship. The idea of confessing your sin to one another is not just randomly finding someone. Sometimes this can get lost because very often, you know, churches will teach this idea of having prayer partners. And so we confess these things to one another. And that's fine, except if we hurt that individual, what have we done by sinning against our brother or our sister? We have caused damage to that relationship. We have actually caused there to be a rift in that relationship. And so when we confess, when we engage in confessing our sin, it's not just random sin. It's when I have sinned against my brother, my sister, I confess to them. The same thing when it talks about confessing our sins to God. Why? Because very often we hurt God with our disobedience. And so as much as we may want to talk to one another about it, it's so important that as we engage in our prayers, that we talk to God, that we confess our sins to him. Why? Because we have hurt him. And we want to reconcile that relationship. Part of being the salt of the earth is that we reconcile, that we engage consciously in efforts to make sure that nothing goes without being dealt with. If we hurt somebody, if someone hurt us, then we have to engage. That's part of the renewal. That's how you renew the relationship. That's how you rebuild the relationship. We are expected to confess to one another regularly in order to stay unified. For the church to be the salt of the earth, we can't have relationships where, you know what, somebody hurt me months ago, weeks ago, days ago, years ago. We can't have that fester without being restored, without seeking renewal to that. Why? Because just like that meat, just like those bananas, just like your skin, if you don't clean it, if you don't apply that saline solution to that infection, what happens? It only gets worse. It only grows. And something that could have been very small, could have been a little cut, could have been just a little damage, you end up losing an arm. You end up losing a leg. You end up losing a whole organ in your body. And you think, well, that sounds a little bit extreme. Well, why do we have so many churches? It's not because we don't understand who God is. It's not even just doctrine. Many times it's just because relationships go damaged. They go unrepaired. Because we don't engage in exactly what's right there in black and white. Right there in print, we see exactly what it's saying, that we need to be open about what hurt us or how we've hurt another person. We need to be willing to engage in this renewal process in order to be to preserve our own spiritual health and well-being, but also to preserve others. But also so that we can help others see an example. It's important that my children watch me and my wife resolve conflict in a healthy way. It's important that they see me apologize when I do something wrong. It's important. It is vital that they see that my wife and I aren't putting on a happy face when we're here, when we're out in public somewhere, but then when we get home, we're not speaking because we're holding on to some bitterness. Because there's some unconfessed resentment, some hurt See, this is why it is so important as a church that we understand this is what it means to be the real church. This is what it means to really be the vessels that God is using to spread his word and set an example. But it starts with us making a decision that being the salt of the earth means that we are going to renew, that we're going to clean up, that we're going to fix, that we're going to go about getting rid of that which causes decay and damage in our brothers and sisters' relationships. Now, this may surprise some of you. I just had a birthday on Thursday, but I'm old enough to remember this. My grandmother had one of these, and she even told me, she said, you know, there are certain stains and certain, you know, things. She would clean my clothes, and I was pretty rough on my pants and stuff when I was a kid. She said, some things, you know, the washing machine just couldn't quite get out. You know, you got to do it by hand. She had this washboard, and I thought, wow. My mother had one. I don't think she ever used it, though. She was like, nope. We have a washing machine. If it broke down, just like she told my dad, go get another one. But, you know, some things, let's face it, even if the stain is tough, even if it's really deep dirt or something ground in, the fact is, it's delicate. Some things have to be washed by hand. Why? Because if you throw it in the washing machine, it gets torn up. It doesn't take care of it, right? Certain things the washing machine just can't handle. You got to handle it with care, right? Some of you all feel like you got to handle this with care, right? Say, I don't want to just run through the car wash. No, I'm going to get it hand washed. I'm going to make sure that it's detailed just right. Tony's laughing because he can relate. You know, you don't want just anybody touching your prized possession. That, you know, your car is delicate. Never mind the steel. I want it to be handled with care, right? You know, there's plenty of things like that. I think about my dog, and he gets pretty dirty. Clearly, this is just a illustration because my children don't wash the dog. And the thing is, it's funny because I was thinking about these commercials they have, these dogs. Like, this woman is not even getting wet. And then the dog is being perfectly still. My dog would have just totally shook all this soap everywhere. So clearly this is done for commercial purposes. But the point is, even though my dog is not particularly delicate, he's actually kind of ham-fisted. He doesn't really do much of anything in a delicate way. But the fact is, I still don't want him to get hurt. I still care enough that I want him to be washed in a delicate way. You know, I saw this. I thought this was interesting. I thought this might help. I'm going to share this with my wife. Maybe it'll entertain him for like 30 seconds, keep him from shaking. But the point is, your dog, you care enough about your dog that even though the dog's not going to get hurt, you don't want to be brutal to a dog. You know, I saw a picture of Kaylee on her horse, right? Kaylee definitely cares about her horse. Horses are huge, they're strong, they're enormous, but you care about how that horse gets groomed, right? What about your kids? We go to great lengths to get the dirt. It doesn't matter how dirty it is or what kind of dirt it is. It doesn't matter how bad it stinks. The fact is, some things, even if it's really dirty, you still handle it with care. See, this matters, and I bring this up because it's so important that even as we engage in the process of renewal, as we do this renewal because we're trying to clean up, because we want to preserve our brothers and sisters. We want to preserve the church. We want to maintain our spiritual integrity, if you will. It's important that we always do it, keeping in mind that we're not doing it because we're angry, or we're not doing it because we want to get back at the person, or because we want to somehow hurt them. No, we always do it in love. We do it in an effort to handle with care. We'll close here in Galatians chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pause there for just a second. It says, restore that person gently. But it puts that caveat in there that says, you who live by the Spirit. What does living by the Spirit mean? It means that the Spirit wants to actually seek restoration, which means it's going to handle it with care. It's going to handle it appropriately, not in an effort to get back or to retaliate. It says you, or to try to shame the person, to try to make them feel bad or feel guilty because of their sin. The idea is to restore, just like, you know, my wife, and this is a failure on my part. I had the kids by myself. She shouldn't have left me alone with them. But I had the kids by myself, and we were out doing something. This was on Wednesday. And whatever happened, Kendall got something in her jeans. She got this stain in her jeans. At the time, on Wednesday, I remembered what it was that spilled on her pants. Well, yesterday she brings these pants to me. She said, do you know what this is? And I thought about it for 10, 15 seconds, trying to come up with a clear answer. And I said, you know what, actually, I don't remember what it is, but I remember at the time thinking that won't be hard to get out. Otherwise, I would have told you when it happened. And she looked at me. She was not convinced. But it did come out. The point is that the idea is that we want to restore those pants, right? We want to clean those things. And so her concern was not, you know, should Kendall be punished for what she spilled on her pants? Or even more to the point, my husband should be punished because he didn't tell me that this stain was in Kendall's jeans. No, the idea was, how do we fix the pants? So when it talks about you who live by the Spirit, it's talking about a heart that says your spirit is one that wants to seek reconciliation and restoration, and you want to build this bridge. You want to heal something, not tear something apart. Continuing on, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, prior to this in Galatians 5, he's talking about living according to the Spirit. He's talking about how the acts of the Spirit and the acts of the sinful nature, not only are they contrary, but they're obvious. You can see a person who's living by the Spirit and somebody who's not. It's not hard to tell. You know, I think about growing up and my mom, she would say, you know what, you just don't even care about your shoes. You just don't even care about your clothes. You're not taking care of it. I'm saying, of course I am, Mom. You know, I remember one time coming home with a book bag. She said, I'm not going to keep buying you book bags. You're going to have to take care of this one. I said, but I am trying to take care of it. She said, I just bought this book bag a week ago. And surely enough, she caught me one day, just came home from school, just threw it across the room, you know. It's obvious when you're not taking care of something, just like it's obvious when we're not taking care of one another. It's obvious when we're not seeking reconciliation. Just like it's obvious when you get hurt or when somebody says something to hurt your feelings or violate you in some kind of way. Just like those things are obvious, it is obvious when we are seeking renewal on a regular basis. It's clear when a person wants to be in reconciliation. It doesn't matter if you say, okay, look, I want to hash this out. If you show up, you know, guns blazing and ready to fight, that's totally different than I'm actually coming and I'm seeking to find resolution because I want peace. Tells us, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Why is it especially for us as Christians? Why is this especially important? Because we know better. Because we know the effects. We've come from the sinful world. We understand what it's like to be isolated in our sin, to be fearful, to be hurt by so much damage that gets caused. So for the believers, for those of us who know what it means to live and have the mind of Christ, it is especially important for us to take care of one another. True believers have a responsibility to each other in this renewal process. The confession is not just to spill your guts. It's so that you can seek renewal. And we have a responsibility to one another. That person who's lost, that person who doesn't know what it means to really be a Christian, we have a responsibility to show what it means to regularly clean. I taught my children how to bathe. My wife taught our children how to bathe. We teach them how to brush their teeth. We teach them how to clean up behind themselves. We teach them how to clean the house. We teach these habits to our children. We teach one another how we fix things, how we repair things, how we put things back together. We teach this, and we know why it's important. Do we engage in this regularly with one another? Do we make it a point that whatever conflict, whatever hurt, whatever lack of trust, whatever damage that has been caused, do we go about the renewal in our relationships with one another in an effort to heal because we know the damage that gets caused? Again, there are churches upon churches upon churches. They even carry the same name, right? You know, you go out, you drive by the sign on the street, the marquee says Church of Christ at the bottom. But there's a disunity there. Why? Because the effort to seek reconciliation, the effort to be in harmony, the effort to want to heal is not there. Why? Because somebody, lots of somebodies, need to engage in the renewal of their mind. How can you be the salt of the earth when you can't even love your brother and your sister? Or as the passage says, how can you love a God who you can't see if you can't love your brother or your sister who you can? This renewal process is what makes us the salt of the earth. It's what makes us the light of the world. And we have to make a conscious, deliberate, and intentional effort to engage in this regularly. Just like you bathe all the time and you brush your teeth all the time, most of us. Just like you go about cleaning your home or you clean your car and you do these things, because you know that if you don't give it attention and keep it clean and well-kept, that it will fall apart. It will lose its ability to do its intended purpose. The same thing happens in the church. How often do we do that? I want to close with a few questions here. How often do I engage in the renewal process with other believers? Am I above getting dirty? And I put that last part in there about being dirty because, frankly, some of us are above getting dirty. We don't want to get dirty, you know? I remember William, this didn't happen with Kendall. I remember with William, because I learned my lesson, with William, when he was a baby, when he was an infant. There were a couple poopy diapers that I thought, man, I don't know. This might have to wait till your mama gets home, right? And I even talked to my mom about it one time in the middle of it, and I could even hear it as it was occurring. And she said, I'll tell you right now, you can wait till she comes home. That might be a couple hours, but guess what? That diaper rash, that infection is going to be way worse for you than if you clean it up now. If you deal with it now, it's a whole lot less of a problem than if you wait. It's like anything that gets dirty, anything that gets bacteria in it. What I said, the sooner you find it and the sooner you treat it, the easier it is to overcome it and be cured. Do we engage in a regular time frame? Do we naturally, instinctively say, I'm going to engage in this process of renewal and make sure that I am reconciled with my brother or my sister, or am I above getting dirty? And I wait because I just don't feel like it. In what area of my life have I let the stain sit for too long? How has it affected my relationships and my outlook on God's plan? You see, the part about God's plan, sometimes we disconnect the two. See, it's like I can walk around here and think, you know what? I'm not particularly happy with Megan right now, so I'm just not going to talk to her. And I don't realize how much that festering wound, that lack of reconciliation on my part, my unwillingness to deal with it, I fail to make the connection on how that affects God's plan. That I am somehow now ineffective in helping others to see Christ because I haven't dealt with a situation. I haven't dealt with a festering wound that's going on. I haven't dealt with that mistrust. I haven't dealt with that hurt. When we do not engage in the renewal, when we do not engage in the cleaning up, we're not able to preserve, and it affects everything. You know, my foot can think that it's fine if it's got an infection in it, but guess what? I'm going to spike a fever. And eventually my shoulder and my hand's going to say, uh-uh, we're going to have to do something. This cannot carry on. It affects the entire body. It affects God's plan when we do not deal with things and we let the stain sit for too long. How can I directly and specifically do more to cure the church? In what way could I personally preserve the church to become more stable and in his image? You know, that word cure comes from, it's usually used now in like, you know, curing diseases and medical procedures and things like that, being able to cure somebody of something that has infected them. But the idea of curing is really that they both derive from the same place. Curing is basically another word that derives from some Latin word that basically means to clean, to deal with, to handle, to address. If I'm going to cure a situation, what am I doing? I'm going to address the situation. Just like when you cure meat. You're preserving it. But you don't wait. No, you cure it because you do it when you get it and you preserve it. You don't wait until you've had the meat out sitting on your counter for 5 days. No, you do it. What does it say? As soon as you open the package, you either need to cook it and prepare it, season it and cure it, or you need to put that thing in the freezer. Because it can't wait. You have to address it now. How is it that you as an individual can be a part of that solution? What can you do specifically to help the church be more in Christ's image if you would just deal with things? It may be something that's been years in the making that you haven't addressed or dealt with. It could be something that just popped up this morning. But on a personal level, what is your responsibility and duty to Christ's church? How do you go about curing what ails the church on a personal level? And finally, am I led by the Spirit? As a result, how do I affect change in those around me? Am I the bacteria or the disinfectant? This is so important because very often we see in the Bible, it'll make these, you know, kind of juxtapositions, these comparisons about, you know, being the salt. Well, what if you're not the salt? What if you're not here to preserve? What if you're not here to give? What if you're not here to offer solutions and offer support and offer prayers and encouragement? What if you're not here to bring reconciliation? Then what are you here to do? Are you the disinfectant? Are you bringing the sunlight? Are you bringing that which heals and mends and cures? Or are you the bacteria? You know, the Bible talks about the church having wolves in sheep clothing. It talks about people who are not there for the good of the church. And we know this, and we think about this, and we can make sense of it. We can intellectualize it. But the question that we have to ask ourselves is if we are not engaged in a renewal process, then exactly what are we doing to the body of Christ? What are we doing to the church? Are you the bacteria or the disinfectant? If you're someone who has never made it a point, made that decision to follow Christ, if you're someone, if you can honestly say in your heart, you know, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I don't know that I've ever engaged in a renewal process. I don't know that I've ever even considered how it is that I can be renewed. You know, the idea of being made new is not something that started with salt. No, the idea of repenting and giving your life to Christ, following him, is what we are all called to do. If you've never answered that call, today is the day to do it. If you've never engaged in that process of renewal and said, I want to be made new. I want to be made in the image of Christ. This is the time and this is the place to do it. We're going to stand here and sing a song of invitation. And I want to encourage you, if this is where you are, maybe you have given your life to Christ. Maybe you have been a Christian for many years even. But there are things that you have not allowed yourself to let go of or to address. And you understand that, you know what, because of my unwillingness to be open and deal with and get these things healed, these wounds have festered and they've gone on for too long. If that's you, in either situation, if that's you, please stand as we sing our song of invitation.